Yes, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are here from the hour of 6 until 8 in the morning. And yeah, it's quite the right time to thank Matthias Sangala with the Twilight. And we are greeting you wherever you are finding yourself, wherever you are finding yourself. And it's a Friday. It's a Friday of the 3rd of October, 2025. So we are always indicating and reminding you to say, 2025, is already coming to an end, because there is only, 1 month before December. And, we'll think about what we are going to do, in 2026 and moving forward toward, 2030. And, that should not only be the main target, but, it's also about thinking beyond 2030. And also maybe to look at what are those things that, you know, we are very proud of, that what are those things that we have done well, and also what are those things that, you know, we need to work on, because at the end of the day, there must always be something that we must work on, because they are saying if you, you know, you are done with or changing, then you are finished, because life is about change, and also life is about continue improving on, you know, what you do, particularly in line with, your interest. You wake up, you look at your goals. Are you moving toward your goals? Are you stagnant? Are you, you know, moving slowly? Or are you no more interested in things that you have set? And, what are the obstacles? Because with time, whatever you do with time, it depends on, what are you investing in time? Because they're always saying to say, when you go to sleep with 30 years, when you are waking up, it's 30 years plus those hours. We are growing old every day. And it's a scary thing to, when you are imagining about it. But yeah, that is, how things are. And, that is, life. Yeah. As it has always been the case, this is where we discuss, trade, economics, governance, and also policy issues. And we are looking at international, continental, and local affairs. And yeah, apart from what happened, especially in the context of Namibia, apart from the fire which has now ended in Etosha, it's also a matter of evaluation, and also coming up with proper statistics to say, what are some of the damages which are done? What are some of the things that need to be put in place to protect the national heritage? And also, how can we improve our risk management, and also risk management and the response, especially when it comes to, you know, natural resources, and also management of our national heritage, something which is need to be looked at, something which need to be looked at.
Get your monthly essential products for just 599 Namibian dollars at USAID. Get 10 kilogram each of Marathon White Sugar, Champion Super Maize Meal, and Bokomo Fetu Flour. Also 5 kilos nice rice, as well as 500 grams grande pasta. All 5 products for only 599 Namibian dollars. You save, I save, yes we all save at USAID.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And today we are starting from local and going international. And also just to give you some highlights on what have been happening. And as I indicated, that the case of fire has been one of the issue in national, you know, discussions, to say how come and what happened and why national heritage such as Etosha take more than 4 days to put down the fire. And also, what is our capacity? What is our ability? What is our investment in terms of protecting, you know, our natural resources? And also, what are some of the statistics? What is the main, you know, statistics regarding the damage? And also, what need to be done to make sure that that of which have happened should not happen anymore, so that at least we protect the tourism sector, because when people are traveling coming to Namibia, some of the wild animals, they only see them on TV because they failed to protect their, you know, their national heritage. But if this continued to happen, we end up looking on TV to see an elephant, to see a hyena, or to see a lion, which is quite going to be a sin news. So that is one of the hard blow, especially to Namibia tourism sector. And also one of the things also which remind us to say, if you don't take care of what is yours, if you don't take care of your natural resources, one day you start imagining what you could have done when you don't have that anymore. Because there's always a matter of not appreciating what you have. Because they are saying you only appreciate most of the things when you lose them. But in that case, that is an area which need to be looked at, and also to see what can we do moving forward. Yeah, the other thing which is happening in local affairs is the issue of cybersecurity. It's an issue of cybersecurity. When you speak about cybersecurity, we mean about an attack on a technological infrastructure, people infiltrating the system. That is a computer system, the cell phone, it's a storage device. And also there is a crime of stealing of information. That's why when you look at what is happening or whatever happened in terms of cybersecurity in Namibia, you will be able to realize that it's still matters of discussion, and it's also still a matter of assessment to say, do you really have the capacity to protect our data? And if you want to say we are going digital, if you want to say we are going to industrialize, what is our capacity in terms of digital infrastructure? What is our security in terms of digital infrastructure? Because if key institutions which we trust so much with our information and data, especially when you are applying, for example, some of us who were funded by NASFAF, when you are applying for a study loan, you're applying for a scholarship, you're applying for a grant, you have to give all your information. You also give your parents information. You give if your parents are working in government, you give your pay slips, you give all the copies, in fact, almost everything. So when you are signing that contract, everything is there. But in a situation where cyber criminals can get into the system and can also steal information, it's quite scary, because that information can be used against you directly or indirectly, and you find yourself losing money in your account, for example, or you find your information exposed there. That's why when it comes to cyber, it's something that we should not only speak about it, but we should continue investing in it, either in terms of human capital or in terms of advancing our infrastructure. Because statistics are indicating to say Africa alone, although they send a market of around $2 billion in terms of in the area of cyber, Africa is still losing between 4 to 10 billion in terms of cyber crimes. And what is very interesting is that when somebody suffered a cyber attack, not all those cases are reported, because they are saying majority of these things are not reported. But it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing. And also to see what measures should be put there, because it's not the first time. It's not the first time. And I remember when we attend the International Cyber Security event in Namibia, the same week that all the experts were gathered here in Windhoek discussing about how to protect our system, is the same week that Shuarongo was also hacked. Shuarongo municipality was also attacked by ransomware, and it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting also, and also indicating to see do I really understand what I'm saying, or do those who are in charge also understand the deeper aspect of cyber and what need to be done? Because remember, when it coming to economic development, we indicate to say those things will not unexpected shocks in your economy, in your process of doing business, will not disappear. They will still be there, but you still have to make sure that you are continuing with your plan. You still have to make sure that you are continuing with your plan. Don't say, guys, please don't attack me in terms of cyber. I'm busy implementing my NDP6. You cannot say, guys, you must stop fighting Ukraine and Russia so that at least I'm busy upgrading human development. We still have to deal with those things. The world is still continue to react. The world can still continue to produce another problem. But what can we do about our internal and also developmental issues? Those are the questions that we should ask ourselves. And yeah, with that statistics, we indicated to you, especially from yesterday, that in terms of national statistics, in terms of statistics, especially statistics on international trade, we'll be able also to see that there is a shift. There's a shift in terms of what have been in the top five, and also how our trades are going. And we are, why, the question we need to ask ourselves is that, why are we buying more from outside, and we are exporting, even if you are exporting more in terms of numbers, the price or the amount that we are getting is always low, and we are always making a loss, or in most cases we are always making a loss, and there is a huge disruption of 39%, especially in terms of what you export, which means that it's either what you are sending outside is no more in demand, or there is a better supplier there, or you have failed to add values. That's why in today's discussion we are going to speak about that area also. That area is also of what is the difference between doing what you say and saying what you want to do, and also what are the new breeds of leadership that we need in Namibia, and how can we accelerate innovation, and also trust in our own intelligence, trust in your own intelligence, and also trust in your own views, because there is always a view to say, in terms of all the economic models, all the economic theories, all the economic planning model, in most cases, what we do in Africa, we just copy that model, we copy that thinking, then we apply it, and we are wondering, why are these things not working in Africa? And the question that, are they yours? Have you contributed anything in that system? Have you contributed anything in that system? Have you even added 2% in terms of implementation strategy of that system? Why a system, a financial system that you are using is working perfectly in the UK, but it's not working perfectly in Namibia? Why an economic model is working perfectly in the US, but it's not working perfectly in Namibia or in other country in Africa? Because we fail to end what and how we view it, and also how we can connect it on the ground. So yeah, let us look at what is happening beyond Namibia. What is happening beyond Namibia, especially in the continent of Africa. What is happening beyond Namibia? We'll be able to see that when it comes to Generation Z in Madagascar, it's coming to Generation Z in Madagascar, we'll be able to realize that President Rajoelina, he's not there well, Kerimanawa, because when it's come to Generation Z, they are demanding his resignation. They want the president to resign because they've been protesting. The more than 30 people have been killed, and also more than 100 people have been also injured in the process. And we'll be able also to see that the government has to react by the president dissolve the whole government. Because when the president was cornered, he has to make sure that you have to please also the public, or you have to answer to the demand of the public. One of the things that he had done, he has to sacrifice his whole government and dissolve the whole government. And after that, he thought things would be better, but that did not happen. That did not happen. The Generation Z in Madagascar is still protesting, Then the question that you are asking yourself is that why are these young people, especially when you speak about Generation Z in terms of classification, it's indicated that those are the people who are born between 1997 and 2012 there. And this majority of these people are not 30 years. And you can be able also to see that what are they demanding? Why are they in the street? What are they demanding? What is that that was not done well? What is happening in the country, in the Indian Ocean, or the Iceland in an Indian Ocean with a population of almost 30 million? And why do they want the president to resign? And also, what will happen moving forward, particularly in the country of Madagascar? And what is very interesting is also that that of who is given an opportunity to lead the whole SADC, because remember, the same president of Madagascar, Rajoelina, politically, he is the head of SADC, was given that responsibility this year, and he was supposed to be somebody who also solve those conflict regionally. But the question you're asking yourself that if now he is forced to resign, how is the future of SADC politics going to be like? Are they going to transfer his power to somebody else, or what is going on? Because you are supposed to be that responsible with that responsibility, and also making sure that when it's coming to issues of conflict, when it's coming to issues of civil conflict within SADC countries, you are intervening, you are commanding other SADC leaders and to make sure that you intervene. Now in this situation, the Generation Z in Madagascar want him out. But let us look at this news and also see what is really happening.
The latest unrest is arguably the biggest challenge of Andry Rajoelina's long political career. The 51-year-old first came to power in 2009, leading a popular movement and benefiting from a coup that ousted Marc Ravalomanana. He was re-elected for a third term in 2023, but it wasn't without controversy. The opposition decided to boycott it over a citizenship issue, and many voters turned away. His always promised to make things better, but despite holding the reins of government since 2018, many believe he's made little difference.
We don't want a coup d'etat, and we don't want to crush the government. We're just asking for our rights. We're asking for water and electricity. We're asking for our fundamental rights, that's all.
The Indian Ocean island is by far the world's leading producer of vanilla, one of the most expensive spices after saffron. And while many people have profited from this, the vast majority of its population, estimated to be roughly 30 million, have been left out. According to the World Bank, up to 80% of the population lived below the poverty line last year. Demonstrators insist that their grievances are valid and their protests are legitimate and peaceful.
We were peaceful, we were singing, we were chanting, we were saying, give us our rights, the right to live, really. But then some people took advantage of it, and there were others who were rather provocative.
The protesters are still calling on the entire government to step down. Not only are they demanding Rajoelina's resignation, but also the dissolution of the Election Commission, the Senate, and the country's top court. Rajoelina has ignored these demands for now and claims he remains the best man to address the roots of the nation's prevailing challenges. David Mbidi, CGTN.
Yeah, that is how tough the situation is, and that is also how cornered the government of Madagascar is. And maybe the question you are asking yourself is that, man, if now Generation Z also is asking for the dissolution of the election commission, the resignation of the president, what will be there after that? What will be there? Who is going to be there? And if things continue to be like that in that country, is it not going to be the presidency or the presidency that will be set to say, if you do not want if you do not want certain government, you demand dissolution, and you demand dissolution of institutions? And is it going to happen, or is it another coup on the way? Because who is on the street? But the basic demand also is water and electricity. It's water and electricity, and this is one of the basic demands. And also to look at it, how is this going to impact the whole of SADC region? How is it going to impact the SADC region? And also, what will happen to SADC leadership if Rajoelina fall, and what will be the case moving forward? Because what they demand is very big. It's very big. And also, the question maybe that we should all ask ourselves is that, why do we keep on internal civil unrest? Why is it so difficult, especially in Africa, to meet the demand of the youth? Why is it so difficult? What is so difficult to meet the demand of the youth? Why youth have to beg for their rights every day? Are the youth prioritized? And what is that, what gap is that going to create moving forward? Because if you have the whole generation of those young people, and within the period of 10 years, let me say, their demands are not met, their rights are not well recognized, they are not enjoying that freedom of participating in the economy, freedom of, you know, get quality education, and also participate in mainstream economy. How is that going to create a gap in leadership of that country in the next 20 years? Because there is always a gap that has to be created, because if the generation is not taken care of, there will be a gap. Because when their times are coming, there will be also a conflict between those who transfer power and also the means of production to those who will be there. Because do not just say we are not taking care of young people. When you are saying you are not taking care of young people are ungovernable. They are not following the rules. They are just Kwaitos and Facebook and WhatsApp heroes. What will happen when the time is no more allowing? Then you need somebody to stand in for you. So that is a question that we should continue asking ourselves. And I think Africa is also lucky at this point in time, because the world is looking at us to say, at this point in time, we have the youngest population, and that is where capacity, that is where also energy is. So that is what's happening, and I think it's quite interesting to see. And also, we also want to see how SADC is going to intervene, although the chair is also is the one which is cornered. We're also going to see how other African countries are going to intervene, because conflict in SADC region sounds like they are not ending. Is this external influence, or is only ourselves? Because when I was speaking to Mr. Robia Madira yesterday, he made quite a very strong point to say, have we done an introspection in situation that we are finding ourselves, is it the imperialists who are always influencing us, or is also us who are failing ourselves? Because in most cases, if you don't reference colonialism, we reference external influence. But is really the case? Is it really the case? Because he mentioned something very interesting to say. What is the meaning of introspection? What is the meaning of self-assessment? And have we ever, especially in Africa, have we ever accepted a certain, have we ever accepted a certain thing to say, yes, here we failed, here we are going to improve? Because in most cases, when you see a situation, when you see conflict, when you see a downfall, when you see an economic challenge, the reference is always colonialism. The reference is always external influence, those who want instability in our government, those who want all those things. But the question we need to ask ourselves is that, have you ever come to the point and say, man, but I need to look at my comrades, my chiefs and all these people, and also ask to say, but what is that that we are not really doing right? Because it cannot be correct anymore to continue saying it's always colonialism. It's always because we are colonized. The colonial master is gone. Now it's ourselves. What is that contributing to self-sabotage? Especially when it comes to economic opportunities, especially when it's coming to ability of people to freely participate in economic development, and also to come up with new ways of thinking and new ways of innovation. Because when you look at Madagascar, you look at Mozambique, you look at South Africa, you look at what happened in Angola, you look at Zimbabwe, then you look at DRC, then you look at Tanzania. Then you continue asking yourself, is it really just external influence, or is it us also? Have we also a role to play in this case? Yeah, let's look at Ethiopia. Ethiopia. Because it's indicated that when you look at the case of something which happened in Ethiopia, around more than 30 people died when they were at under construction church. That was that is in Ethiopia. And maybe you also need to ask ourselves to say, why, especially our fellow worshippers, this is not the first time. It's not the first time. Because churches, they collapse. What are some of the, can you look at the why question? Is it lacklessness? Or is it something beyond that? Because it's not the first time in Africa people die in church. Building collapse. Is it negligency? Or is it because they are not well monitored to say this is the foundation that you have to build. This is the structure. This is the design. Yeah, because in most cases, especially faith-based institutions, they are like operating not really to say more independently, but when it coming to scrutiny, that right is it's a bit taken. But people continue to die in church. Did not only it happen in DRC, it have happened also in Nigeria at one point, and this is also now the case. But let us look at this news and what really transpired in this aspect.
Damaged caused by the collapse. At least 30 people have died and more than 200 were injured when scaffolding collapsed at a church in Ethiopia. Worshippers had gathered at the Arati Mariam Church in the northern area of Amhara for an annual event celebrating St. Mary.
Some people are still trapped under the rubble, and rescue operations are underway. Injured victims have been taken to the capital, Addis Ababa, for treatment. Local officials warned that the death toll might increase. In a statement shared by state media, the government expressed deep condolences for the damage caused by the collapse. It added that safety must be given priority during all construction projects.
Yeah, that is what's happening. That is what is happening, especially in Ethiopia, regarding the collapse of a church which was under construction. Like I said, it did not only happen in Ethiopia. It also happened at one point in Nigeria, where whole building collapsed top of the people. Maybe the question we ask also is to say, what happened to the church leader? Was he there or not there? What happened to that of who was in charge? And also, what really happened? What really transpired in that case? Yeah, the other thing that we need to look on international ground is development between Ukraine and Russia that indicated that Moscow and Kyiv exchanged more than 300 soldiers and 20 civilians which were returned to Ukraine on Thursday, and that is the latest sweep in terms of exchanging of war prisoners. And what history is telling us is to say, in the world of civilization, when you arrest a prisoner of war, whether it's a soldier, you still have to respect international law, because there is an aspect of this aspect of Geneva Convention, which is indicating that is the right of those who are not, of those who are caught in war, the rights of women, and also those who are caught in crossfire. And we also have a right to make sure that when that soldier that you wounded, the soldier of that enemy, you make sure that you treat him, you give him medical attention, and also support. Because those are the laws of war. Doesn't mean that you shoot any enemy, even the one who is raising his hands. Because remember, there are also rules of engagement in war. There are also rules. There are referees that are watching. Although war is not an acceptable thing. But when you look at what is happening between Ukraine and also Russia, it's a very interesting development. Say these countries are still talking, because part of negotiations is releasing of war prisoners, and also exchanging, to say, you give me 200 prisoners, I give you 5 most important people that I've got through the war. And what is very interesting is also that every person, especially in that aspect of war, has value, because you cannot just exchange a military general that you have arrested with one ordinary civilian, because value also matters. It is also issues of weighing. Although numbers are not balanced, every person matter, and depends on what that person does also. That's why it's quite an interesting thing to look at, especially when it's coming to Russia and Ukraine exchanging soldiers, and prisoners sweep. So let us look at this case, then we move forward. And as I indicated from 7 here, We are going to be in conversation with Mr. John Walenga, and we're going to look at various issues of development, and we are also going to look at critical elements of development, innovations, and also new ways of thinking, because for you to bring about the changes, you cannot continue doing the same thing for over and over, and you expect different results. And we're also going to speak about risk takers. What is risk taking in Namibia? Do we have risk takers? Do I have that capability to take risk? And what does it mean when you're a risk taker? And I also going to touch on the aspect of, you know, there's a difference between taking a risk and also a calculated risk, and also to see how do you deal with, you know, new development? How do you deal with challenges and moving forward? Because it's going to be an open discussion, and I'll give you an opportunity because I've been talking the whole hour. I'll give you an opportunity to call in the studio, and you'll be able to ask questions. You'll be able to engage and also express yourself in terms of moving the conversation forward, because the aim is only one, is to make sure that after every conversation that we bring about, at least you get one or two, and we can find a way, because we are all in the same line of national development. Either you are a cleaner at a certain institution, you are a taxi driver, you are a learner, you are a student, you are a single parent, make sure that you are not alone, because at the end of the day, you are part of a national project that is together, maybe a way it wants to get. But how do we get there? Yeah, we can only get there if we have new ways of thinking, if you have new ways of doing things, and also if you also understood our roles in national development. And the other thing is also the aspect of introspection, like what Mr. Robbie have said yesterday, is to say, instead of, can I introspect myself, instead of me blaming another person for doing something, what can I do to change the situation? And yeah, so let us look at this case of Ukraine and Russia exchanging soldiers, and we'll move forward.
185 soldiers from Russia and 185 soldiers from Ukraine were returned to their respective countries in the latest prisoner swap between Moscow and Kyiv on Thursday. The exchange was confirmed by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on Telegram. On the other side, the Russian Ministry of Defense released footage of the exchange between Russia and Ukraine on Thursday. 20 civilians were also returned to Ukraine, according to Russia. Ukraine has said that it has managed to bring more than 7,000 of its citizens and defenders home since the start of Russia's invasion of its territory. More than 2,500 Ukrainian servicemen, however, currently remain in Russian captivity, which has been flagged for its disregard for international law, with reports of torture and ill treatment of Ukrainian prisoners of war being numerous. This latest prisoner swap is one of the only results of attempts at peace talks between the two countries between May and July earlier this year.
Yeah, you are hearing it yourself. You are hearing it yourself. People are happy to return home, return to your wife after you have been, you know, arrested in war, that you have been a prisoner of war. And with mankind, you understand that the nature is ruthless, and war have always been there. People have always been fighting. It is about economy. That is about power, and war has impact on individuals, especially those who went through war. That's why in I do not see it, although it's also in Africa implemented by United Nations. In many countries after war, you don't just come from war, then you go home. There is this aspect of demilitarization. Not only you are being demilitarized in terms of you not having your weapons, and also the demobilization, also the aspect of you being demobilized, you being brought back to civilian life, and also the issues of giving counseling and integrating people into the society. And when you look at what's happening in Africa, person come from war, there's no enough program. People just come from war and go straight home. And those have a real impact on interaction, human interaction, because a soldier is not a civilian. That is what they say. A soldier is not a civilian. And you must understand that after every war, after every mission, there must be an aspect of being integrated. How do we bring these people back to the community? And also, and there's a lot of things involved, because war does not only destroy building, does not destroy constructions, does not only destroy infrastructure, can also damage the mind of an individual, can damage the thinking of an individual. And it's quite interesting topic also to see, especially looking at this case. And if somebody was tortured and integrating him back to the community, there are certain programs which have been given, especially in that case, because you have to remember that the economy, which is nothing without human capital, does require a fresh mind, and does require a sound mind to make sure that you participate correctly. It's not only from war, it's from every traumatic event, which can be a natural disaster, even flood. And people do not see about this. And and the other aspect also is integration of a person. Even you can extend it to, if I have suffered too much due to poverty, then I get a certain opportunity. You may also maybe be able to jokingly, but it's very true, to be integrated into the main system, because you'll be surprised. You'll be shocked when you enter a space that you have never been there, because the mind always takes time to integrate themselves into that aspect. That's why difficult situations, especially in development, must be handled very well, and also correctly, to deal with those issues, and also to contribute to development. Yeah, the other news is the news of Nathi Mtetwa, the late Nathi Mtetwa. It's a former ambassador of South Africa to France, who a few days ago fell from the 22nd building, 22nd floor in France, in one of the shocking events which happened in international politics. And it's indicated that the family is waiting for the body autopsy. It's waiting for the body autopsy, and also get clarification of medical officer, especially what really have happened, especially one of decorated diplomat who died a mysterious death. And then you look at that side of France, it's an indication that people or the authority is still investigating. The authority is still investigating to say what really happened. That caused the death of the diplomat in that aspect. Somebody who was serving as a head of mission in France. And remember, he served as a minister, a deputy minister of police. And he was part of, at one point he was a chief whip. And if you look at South African Parliament, especially that time of when EFF was getting in, you'll be able to see the interaction, and you'll also be able to see how they used to interact especially with those, the radical EFF, people. It's quite mysterious. It's also, posing, a lot of questions, on the safety of, diplomats, abroad, and also, issues of, clarification of what really happened. Was it, politically motivated? Was it, suicide? What have caused that? Why information are not clear? And, all those things. Because it's not only a disruption in South Africa, it's also a disruption in France. If, my people die in your country, and there's no clear explanation, it can also, cause, some of the, not to say mistrust, but it can also cause, you being cautious about, interaction, because a diplomat, wherever you go, based on, Vienna Convention, is somebody who is well protected, somebody whose safety is, secured, and, somebody that, you cannot even touch his documents. You cannot, you must respect that person, because even in war, you cannot, arrest a diplomat. You allow that person to pass through. They are allowed to leave first. But in this case, just like that. And, something to look at. So let us look at this news before we go to main conversation for today. We go to the main conversation for today. However, you can also, engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401.
Spokesperson for the family of Natia Mtetwa, Dr. Sifiso Buthelezi, says his passing has left them heartbroken as they try to come to terms with it. Buthelezi, who is currently in the French capital, says they don't know yet when Mtetwa's remains will be repatriated. Mtetwa, who was South Africa's ambassador to France, died after falling from the 22nd floor of a hotel in Paris.
I need to just to inform South Africans as to what is happening at the site now. And I know they are really, really waiting to hear when is the body of Ambassador Mtetwa coming home. The answer is we don't know. Because that becomes a function of when they finish the autopsy, and then it's only then that the authorities will release the body to us.
Yes, let's go to a short commercial break, because our guest is here, and we are going to engage him. Let's go to a commercial break. From there, I will give you Mr. John Walenga, and we are going to engage, and stay tuned.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarude dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onora etatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM. Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu honda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange kashake ngejifa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Yes, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, and as I indicated, as I promised you, our guest is in the studio. Mr. John, good morning, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, Papa. How are you?
I'm doing well. How is your morning?
And morning to your listeners.
Yes, we are very happy. Yeah.
At least I walk from home to the studio, so nah. I feel fresh.
Nah, I can see, I can see.
So if in one way or another you see me or you hear me petting on the air, it's because, yeah, I just arrived in the studio.
So it's good to keep it fit.
So they say, yeah.
Yeah, we are very happy to have you in the studio and invite you intentionally, especially to speak on critical matters of development. We want your opinion, we want your views, especially that today we are speaking about thinking. However, I want to put it out there because the first time I heard your name, I think it was that time I was at primary school. I heard from, I used to listen to local music and the legend Nakare is always saying, we want to thank Mr. Wa. Then I have to ask myself, who is this man? I thought you were a musician. When they say, no, we want to thank Mr. Wa. But maybe before we go to the main content, what brought you especially to the love of music, and before we come to the main conversation of thinking of development?
David, thank you for the question. It's a beautiful one.
Yeah.
Difficult as it is.
Mm.
However, it's also simple to answer.
Mm.
Tell me of one person
who
doesn't love music.
Yes.
We all love music.
Mm-hmm.
We were born into it.
Yeah.
We only chose in our later life to discard it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the first thing your mom will teach you,
Shotoya
Mufa, mm-hmm. when she's breastfeeding you.
Mm-hmm.
She's singing all type of songs, whether it's traditional,
yeah,
with a message.
Uh-huh.
And normally the messages of our mothers is her wish of what you should become.
Mm-hmm.
So our messages as Africans,
yeah,
are always hidden in songs. So they pass on, they are always just passed on from one generation to another. We don't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Yes.
So the difference is I didn't lose it.
Oh, you went to another level of, investing in it and also, upgrading talent too.
Yeah, the thing is, before the arrival of religion,
yeah,
as it were,
yeah,
what were we doing? We were entertaining with ourselves with all sorts of songs,
yes, yeah, yes,
traditionally,
yeah,
whether it's at funerals,
yeah,
whether it's at wedding,
yeah,
all sorts of events,
mm-hmm.
Africans will be singing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only unfortunate thing is, with the arrival of missionaries,
yeah,
they demonize our songs,
uh-huh.
traditional songs.
Yes.
And they taught our elders religious songs.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is history. That's also partly how we lost it.
Yes.
But we don't realize, or they did not realize then, that they were actually teaching them their culture.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that, everything in life,
yeah,
if you want to capture,
yeah,
a community,
just
attack their culture
and demonize it.
And demonize it as they have done.
Then they,
now,
yeah,
ask yourself a simple question.
Yeah.
How come the Asians,
yeah,
are what they are today? Is because they never allowed anybody to tamper with their culture.
I hear
never.
You. I hear you.
That's why a Chinese in Namibia is always a Chinese. But you, a Namibian, you go to China, you will try to become a Chinese.
I will do all my best to become that.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
But you know, you now know where you got it from.
Yes, today we are speaking about new thinking. Today we are speaking about new ways of doing things. I was looking at the aspect of development and looking at what have we done from the past 35 years. I have seen changes, but there are also questions that I'm also asking myself, particularly when I get this platform, then I have access to data. Then I ask myself questions to say, man, these data are not corresponding. There are things that we really have said, but there are things that, in terms of development, particularly the human development, the aspect of human development, to me, comparing data that I got access to, comparing also opportunity and people that I got information to, I realized to say, I think there is something, especially in the way we think, that we did not do right, or maybe we should work on that aspect of thinking. That's why when it comes to the aspect of thinking, that is what I want us to look at.
Okay.
I also want us to look at the aspect of innovation and also the aspect of entering new industry. I don't want to praise you, but you have done something and it's seen out there that you are part of those people who have done something. But let us take us that way, particularly in terms of thinking. My first question would be maybe in the aspect of the breeds of leaders that we should produce or that we should mentor into, particularly in the Namibia that you want, if I have to get that straight.
I like the two words you use. Risk and thinking. Those are actually the two words we have lost in our being as a society. Look at it this way. First, what is the meaning of a risk?
No, risk is something
that contains. No, it's okay. That's how I talk.
Okay.
I always challenge myself with a question before I can answer.
Okay.
It's in my nature.
Okay.
According to Oxford Dictionary here, is a situation involving exposure to danger. That's a risk. Now, to me, that's what we lost at independence, taking risk. Had it not been for the generation of the Nyomas and Yatoivalem, we would not be here today. We are here today because that generation took a risk. We lost it completely after independence. As you may have observed, young as you are, that Nyoma was the type of a person who would command to say, I want a railway between Tsumeb and Oshikango.
Yes.
And direct the Minister of Works. Then it was later Dr. Amuelo. May his soul rest in peace. Now, you see, that's a leader. He's dictating what should happen because we gave him that power. We trusted him with our lives. And in return, he was out there to make a difference in the people, in the people's life who elected him, who gave him that responsibility. How that minister is going to find money to give birth to the railway line between Ondangwa and Oshikango? That's not his problem.
What is the result?
That's all. And he decided we must venture into green scheme. How the Minister of Agriculture or between the Minister of Finance and Agriculture, they must just find money. Do you understand?
I hear you. I hear you.
He continued to take those risks. And one can say calculated.
Yes, yes.
But it's not his mission to calculate the risk. It's for the people whom he has appointed
mm-hmm.
to calculate. For him, it's just to say, do it. He's a risk taker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened between the generation of Nyoma and our generation? You know what is the difference? We are overthinking too much. We are overthinking too much.
We are analyzing things.
We are overthinking and analyzing and personalizing what is supposed to be public.
Uh-huh.
But the sad thing is, I'm not so much worried about the generation of Nyoma. I'm saying they have done their part.
Yeah.
I'm worried more about my generation.
Mm-hmm.
What is this that we are passing on to a person like yourself, to your generation? We are the ones who stopped to take those risks. We are the ones who are calculating. We are the ones who are going into entities and enterprises. Whether it's an enterprise of government or private, we are the ones who are over-analyzing to an extent that we have actually become selfish. We go in there for our own benefit and not for the benefit of the masses.
Now, one would want to ask to say, how did that happen? What happened there? Are we trying to be like somebody, or somebody have influenced your generation to say, especially when it's coming to taking of risk and also making bold decisions, especially when it's coming to national development?
It's very simple. You know, our independence.
Yes.
This is a compromise, independence.
Mm-hmm.
It came out of a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
It did not come about through a bullet. Unlike Angola and Mozambique. Just to give you examples, closer to home. This was a negotiated, independence. What does it mean? It means that the laws,
yeah.
At the end of the day,
yeah.
we have inherited.
Yeah.
They were written for us. For us was just to adopt.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's, you see, if you want to do things, and I like the slogan of our current president,
yeah.
business unusual.
Yeah.
If you want to succeed in doing things business unusual way,
yeah.
the first thing you must do is to look at the laws.
Mm.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
If you don't change that, there can never be business unusual. It will continue to be business usual. And I'm happy that the president already, that's one of the issues she has addressed.
Yeah.
She has given us a period in order for us to sponsor what we think should be changed in terms of the laws.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether Namibians have taken advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because before you do that, you and I can just continue parceling out blames to this minister and this government. Now, why they cannot be business unusual? You see, the laws we have inherited, they have become biblical. Yeah?
Yes.
You find a minister, a whole minister, or a prime minister for that matter, and previous presidents. And I'm
Just hold on. We'll have a short commercial break.
When life gifts you...
Honey! The washing machine broke again!
Take control with Express Credit. Get fast, reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars, repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for a quick cash loan. Easy application, same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS GIFT to 32274.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are with Mr. John Walenga in the studio. And I'll also give you an opportunity to engage us at 083-288-401 after we have exhausted this conversation. And let us continue.
Thank you, David.
Yes.
You see, this conversation can never be exhausted. I'm sorry, within 1 hour, we can't exhaust it. And I also don't want to say what I'm saying now.
Yeah.
I'm saying it for the first time.
Yeah.
Even here on air.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that I've said it multiple of times.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mind because at least that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the truth is the only thing that you can repeat over and over.
I hear you.
There's a reason why you and I are called David and I'm called John.
It's
because we are Christians, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what they do in the church? They don't tell you anything new. They repeat that gospel every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Until it has become your gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning what? You have been indoctrinated. That's what it means. To an extent that we are hypnotized.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are talking about these laws.
Yeah.
And we want to things to change, the trajectory of Namibia, especially in the economic space.
Yeah.
Look, the sad thing, and some of us have been there, whether it's in the trenches of politics or business or church space.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people who have played a role in all those spaces.
Yes.
I'm proud to say today, I'm dedicating most of my time now in the traditional authority.
Yeah.
It's something I enjoy.
Okay. Well, while we are there, let us, take it, risk taking. What are the challenges of, risk takers? Because when you want to reform something, there are always, obstacles on the way. There are always also those who do not like change because change people always resist change. But, how does a risk taker deal with conflict on the way? How do you make a change that is helping the majority without looking at who is going to be offended? Because at the end of the day, somebody will also always be offended, especially when you are reforming.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
Can we park that question for a while?
Yeah.
Just don't forget it.
yeah.
And exhaust the question of the laws.
Yeah.
Look, the sad thing is to have a minister. And most of the ministers from, almost from, President Pohamba's time, were my generation.
Yeah.
Basically. And, some of them have been phased out. And I love it, the fact that they've been phased out. Some of them. Why I love it.
Yeah.
Is because for the first time in my opinion, the younger generation have realized that no, the people who are taking us back is actually the lawmakers in the name of the executive. You find a minister reciting a law, and I'm deliberately using that word reciting, and he would say, "No, I can't do this, or this cannot be done according to Act what." They cite them, and I'm like. And for me, I would call those I know, that my brother or my sister.
Yeah.
Why are you subjecting us to laws?
Mm-hmm.
The type of laws, you know that we have inherited them.
Mm.
You have spent more than even 20 years in parliament, but you have failed to influence the top leadership, the principals, to say that these are the first things we should be looking at, changing the laws. Now, the truth is, many of us, when you get into those positions, we tend to forget that even apartheid was a law. Apartheid was a law.
It was formalized.
Yes. So who are you now to recite and quote those laws to the public?
Instead of changing them.
Instead of changing them.
Uh-huh.
Now, you find those laws, some of them are biased towards the previous regime. But we still have them on our books.
Then we cite them.
And we cite them, which is very unfortunate. In that, I blame my generation.
Mm-hmm.
But who are the administrators? It's your generation. The unfortunate thing, if we are not careful, even you, your generation, will follow suit. When are we going to be economically liberated if we are just following without changing the laws?
That is a question. That is a question. And while we are at that law, because somebody will always cite the law to say, no, I'm guided by a document. Because what is the use of having a law which is not answering to the people, which is still oppressing people, but it's still a law? as you indicated, that the apartheid was also a law.
The truth is they become selfish because it's about their positions. They are now looking down on us. Apparently, they are now at a higher pedestal, looking down on us.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is once they lose their position, then they come back and say, oh, and I'm sure you guys have observed it. That's now the time they will start making use of Eagle FM to complain once they lost out there. Because now apparently they are enlightened. If only I could have done this and that. But your brother, nobody was holding a gun on you.
Yeah. While we are there, we are still going back to that question. But while we are there, I want to ask to say, when somebody is a monk or is in the corridors of power, that person, in most cases, people are protecting their bread. But how do you become so different? How do you become so different and say what you say or do what you say you were doing? Because I used to observe, I've seen youth leaders, some of them are in a lawmaking house. When we are together at university, we are speaking about the same thing. Some of these people were mobilizing us to attend, you know, this student protest. Then we say, no, this one is a good leader. No matter the political party, as long as you go to parliament, I think I'm saved. But now I'm there on TV listening, but somebody start debating about marriage issues, which is not, it's not a problem, but you're supposed to deal with things that are from your generation. But my question is here to say, how can somebody differentiate himself while he's still at that high level of power without forgetting where he comes from?
You know, when you are outside, like the picture you painted there, you tend to think that it's easy out there until you get into that seat. However, you will find even professors advising you that speak truth to power. That is actually supposed to be the cardinal rule. Speaking truth to power. But that's when you are outside.
Okay.
Apparently, when you get into those seats, you stop speaking truth to power because you are part of the what? Of the power pool of the land. The number one powerful people, collectively, are members of parliament and national council. And the only person on top of them is the president.
Yes.
But otherwise, when we elected them, we elected them to be, to give them our, all our powers. We literally hand them, that, portfolio. So that they can, be there on our behalf, because we cannot all become members of parliament.
Indeed, indeed.
Now, what do they become? The first thing I want to believe, when they are being, what is the right word they use? When they are being, let me just use my vocabulary.
Yeah.
When they are being taken through parliament, there's a phrase that I'm missing.
Oh, I think it's induction.
Induction. Thank you very much. When they are being inducted, to become good parliamentarians. I have come to realize that apparently that's indoctrination. And they don't want to admit it today. Now, what has become of our politics? Look, for now, until further notice, that's just another employment agency, the politics of our land. I've seen many of them. You know them. They are your generation, not my generation. And today, the way they dress, it's very impressive, man. Where did they get it from? The very same person you used to see then has completely transformed because they are now taught how to be parliamentarian. I don't mind for them to look decent or in suits when they are in parliament. But you cannot tell me that you go around in the village suited all the time and you want to speak to people with empty stomach.
I hear you.
That's not fair. That's not the reason why we elected you to be there, in order for you to come and look down on us. So there is that disparity.
Yeah.
There is that disparity.
Uh-huh. Now, what is need to be done? Because we must always look at.
We must just stop overthinking and do the right thing. Uh-huh. And we don't have to look too far, eh?
Yeah.
And I will say something. The people always say it's controversial, but that's the reality.
Yeah.
We don't have to look too far. We just have to look at how a minority tribe in Africa got into power, and they used the very same system of governance, or government, for example, to turn around, not for example, but they use government to turn around the situation for their benefit. And what did they use? It's laws. That's why I continue to admire a tribe called Afrikaners.
What do you mean by that?
You know what the Afrikaners did when they got power in South Africa? They were the minority.
Yeah.
And yet they ruled over the majority for a very long time, until they even annexed Namibia. We became their colony. The then South African regime. But this is an African tribe. You can say or call them what you want. They are Africans, maybe. It's one of our African tribes.
Yeah.
They use the power to benefit their own people.
Yeah.
And that's how anybody in power is supposed to do. Be there for your people.
Yeah.
If you cannot be there for your people while in power, whom do you expect to be there for your people when you are no longer there?
It's a good question. Now, we have a lot of things to cover, but let's look at the economic part of Namibia. When I came to Eagle FM, I got access to data. I got access to interacting with various people. Then I also see how different industries are operating. One of the things which interests me is Namibia attraction of investment in various sectors. Then also compare it to where we are. Then my question has always been to say, how should an ordinary person benefit, regardless of how much amount of money coming in? Then you look at the situation of a person on the ground. You look at Havana. You look at any other town, not only Windhoek. Then you are asking yourself to say, we are a wealthy nation. We have resources. But how can we transfer what is coming in to an ordinary person in that aspect?
Thank you for your question, David.
Yeah.
First, it's very unfortunate that we are preoccupied with foreign direct investment. Yes, it's true that we need it.
Yeah.
But we need it for what? That's the question that should preoccupy your mind. Why do you need foreign investment? If I were in government, because that's the question I hear you posting at me.
Just one second.
Okay.
Hello, Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
Yes, the thank you, David.
FDI.
Yeah.
The
question is, why do you need FDI?
It's
you as a country who should decide why you need FDI. From the look of things, since independence, the reason why we needed FDI is to create employment.
Yeah.
David, that's a shallow approach. We are talking about a country.
Yeah.
You are not talking about your business, you setting up a business.
Yeah.
You want to make a profit,
yeah.
But yes, you need to employ people.
Yeah.
Now, as a country, you have natural resources.
Yeah.
How do you go out there and seek for foreign direct investment in order to create jobs in your country?
Mm.
Elsewhere in the world, it's done the opposite. It's the other way around.
Yeah.
That what you do, this foreign FDI,
yeah.
should come on board in your country.
Yeah.
And I'm not discounting it. I'm saying we need it.
Yeah.
But the question is why? This FDI should come in your country so that they can train you how to run your economy.
Yeah.
Not how to be good employees. Now, look at the country. I used to give an example of a country called Singapore. But maybe it's too much. I've used it too much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can expand on that.
I will use a different example.
Okay.
Look at a country like Qatar.
Yeah.
Look at a country like Saudi Arabia. Let's look at the Arab countries.
Yes.
Because we came from the generation of the Asian tigers. Which gave birth to a country called Singapore. Singapore is a country which benefited. She is what she is today because of the Cold War. That's a perfect example. Now, the Arab countries,
yeah.
how did they come about?
Mm.
They use their natural resources.
Yeah.
Foreign investors, they attracted, but they did not give them direct access to the resources. No. They identify people to say, David, you are wasting your time being on air. Come here. There is this oil block. We want to give it to you. And it's for you now, David, when you partner up with the so-called FDIs.
Yeah.
Ne?
Yeah.
They partner up with you, not with government, with you. And you are holding those resources. On behalf of what? Of the state. Because what is a state? A state is you and I. It's people. It's not an entity.
Yeah.
Now, when you hold that oil block on behalf of the state,
yeah.
because you are a state, and the state will continue to monitor you, is that you are the one now who has to dictate to your partners and tell them what is Namibian, what is expected of them. But with us, as a state, it's those companies dictating to us. Ne?
Yeah.
So much so that if you go in those Arab countries, they are not even talking about employment. Or unemployment is a non-issue to them because of what?
Yeah.
Because they are controlling what is theirs, the natural resources. So much so that if you go in Qatar, Qatar, the population of Qatar is as big as Namibia, 3 point something million. However, the Qataris, the population, do you know how big it is? The Qataris. Is only 800,000. But Qataris are not bothered that they are minority in their own countries. Because those are skilled workers and unskilled labor working for who? For them to build their country. But here with us, we are preoccupied by foreigners coming in the country to do this and that. They are coming in as skilled labor in our situation. They are coming in as skilled labor and in the name of foreign investors. Who is welcoming them? It's us. Why? Because we have failed to define why we need foreign direct investment. And if you leave it a gray area as it is, that's why we are crying today. Now, look at it this way, David. During the generation of the Nyoma, the risk takers.
Yeah, yeah.
What did they do? They just decided, we are going to wage a war, man, to liberate ourselves. They are up there. they recruited my generation to be at the forefront. Mm. And they were able, the reason why we are successful, why we succeeded to wage a war is because the Nyomas did not just say, go out there and fight. They entrusted the responsibility to individuals in the name of a commissar, in the name of a commander, a general for this and general for that. So these are people they could name by their names that you are responsible for that. Now, what made us lose that? Because the very same strategy that you needed to wage a war, a colonial war, is the same strategy that you need to wage an economic war. It's not different. We lost it.
I get you. And let me give you this opportunity to those of you who are listening. We are speaking with Mr. John Walenga. He's in the studio, and we are talking about risk takers. We are talking about Namibian economy and development. What is that that we have done right? What are those things that we need to work on? You can engage us at 083-288-401. You spoke the aspect of the strategy that we use in military war is a strategy that we need in economic war. Now, when you gave that input, I start understanding that things are now the other way around. Now, because we need a reformist, that one, everybody can agree that we need to reform. Either it's law, either the way we do things, either it's our thinking. Now, in every situation that somebody want to change something, you always have somebody who is countering.
Yeah.
There is always somebody who is blocking on the way. Now, how do you make change which can benefit the majority without looking of who is going to distract you?
Look, you use a strong word, reform, that we need to reform.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what we need to do.
Mm.
We just have to do the right thing. And the right thing is not necessarily reforming.
Mm.
Because when you are reforming, it means you are looking at this law and want to become like, you have a mental picture in mind of how things are done elsewhere. But within a democratic dispensation, your reform is limited to something because you are already caged. Let me give you this example. Do you think in Burkina Faso they have reformed where they are today? You don't call that reform.
It's not reform.
Do you understand? It's a complete U-turn and becomes selfish towards your people. We know what happened. And I'm not necessarily saying that's the right thing to do. But when you force people into a corner, earlier you were talking about Generation Z. Generation Z has got, it's not that they are stuck. They've got their own ideas. And it's just a matter of time before something trigger them into something else. So reformists don't achieve anything. They only spend money overthinking. They spend money overthinking. Yeah. But the power you are given as a leader is to be selfish towards us as Namibians. Yeah. We don't necessarily expect you to reform. Reform means going to have all sorts of workshop around the country and say, what do you need here? But you already know what is needed.
Do you
understand?
I hear you. We just need the right thing.
Like, what is the original, Oxford Dictionary of reform? Because we must be factual about some of these things. According to Oxford Dictionary, is to make changes in something, especially an institution or practice, in order to improve it. Improve. The key word there is improve.
Improving, yeah.
But where we are today, we don't have to improve anything. We need to change completely. So we don't necessarily have to triore a country in order for us to benefit from our natural resources because we have the laws. It's just a matter of going to parliament and change what is not working. Not reform, change. That's what we need to do. And you don't necessarily have to form a political party to change something. No.
Yeah.
Speak from within. They say must speak truth to power.
Yeah.
Why do you have to live? But yes, when you speak truth to power, you will be, because they are already there. They don't want to hear that language. But yesterday they were your comrades. But is that what they are doing when they get into power? They become something else. But that's not to mean that the institution which has taken them there to parliament, the political institution, that there is something wrong with them. No, it's them as individuals. But the unfortunate thing is, or fortunate and unfortunate, we are always given every fifth year to change. But what do we change? We only change people without changing the laws.
Law still remains. Yeah. That is a very strong view. We need not reform, and I got you. Not reform, but we need to change the law. And it's very difficult. And
but why is it difficult? In our case, you see, when we want to shift the blame, we say this imperialist. We have beautiful adjectives to describe these people.
Yeah.
Ne?
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
But look at our parliament. What is the composition of that parliament? How many whites are in that parliament? How many?
Few.
But why are we changing the laws to benefit the majority? That's why I'm saying to you, ne? We don't have to look too far. You don't, because to me, our embassies and the higher commissions that we have, they have failed us. The foreign policy has failed us. So why do we have to look too far? At independence, there was only a handful of white established businesses in this country. Ne? But after independence, they are flourishing more than black-owned businesses, if you want me to use color.
Yeah.
I'm not into that space.
Yeah.
Because me, the good example I have of people who invest every little cent on the continent. The only people I know who invest every little cent on the continent is Afrikaners.
I think that is...
is Afrikaners.
The lesson need to be learned. And the fact that you say they are our people...
They are our people.
Yeah.
You can say what you want.
Now, while we are...
Everything else is just political rhetoric. And like Maponga said the other day that politics is just entertainment for the poor. That's what it is. Look at what is working. Why do you want to go far?
Yeah.
Ask the Afrikaners, how did you do it? Because they are here.
Now, while we are there at business, I want the perspective, especially from straight from black business people, particularly in Namibia. Where are we standing? What are the, because we have around 16 minutes, I think we can get it right. What are the challenges that those who come into the space of business, especially post 1990, what are the challenges that they are facing, and in that space of business? To start with that,
I don't want to sound like a broken record.
But
it's loss.
Yeah, it's loss.
That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, those who are given an opportunity, huge mega opportunities.
Yeah,
they behave like they are role models, the politicians. They become selfish. They do. Can.
Let's take the caller.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chombe. and the 30th John Walenga. How are you?
Uncle Buana.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, good morning.
How are you? It's been a long time.
I know.
Leadership, insight, and understanding.
How are you?
This young man there.
How are you?
No, this young man is doing a great job.
How are you?
Same God. We are doing well.
Yeah.
We are happy. We are very interacting.
Agabana.
Yes.
You have 2 minutes.
Yeah. Let me take a minute just to think that John Walenga's leadership and management style. We appreciate it. Inspired. You ask him a question. How did he stand out? Maybe so unique. That characteristic. There are many. So, but I thank you very much. But I think the reform, on the question of the reform, I think you can reform that Walenga said you change the attitude and the ethical behaviors of the people.
Change the law.
Especially in a system like ours, where especially you mentioned with the law, as long as the laws, the rules and the procedures, the regulations are there, but then many a time, those things are in place, but then they to reform the attitude of the people.
Yes.
And I think
the
reformist theory, when it came, it was more perhaps radical in some way, but I think we need to start reforming, whether it's our legal framework, especially when it comes to media.
Yes,
the cyber crime, those bills and everything to make it more better. But we need to reform and change, obviously, some of those things. Thank you very much, Dr. Walenga, for coming.
Thank you, Uncle Buana.
God bless.
Yes, that is Uncle Buana. We spoke about the law, spoke about becoming like their mentors. And what else?
You see, I was saying,
First,
I want us to appreciate the fact that we are, as individuals, products of our time, products of our environment.
Yeah.
You don't become anything outside that.
Yes.
Now, I'm saying the business people, the black business people who are fortunate or who have been fortunate to get opportunities, they behave exactly like their peers, the political principles. Because until further notice, now the way things are, they are there for their own stomach. The business community who got opportunities because of those who are in power, they behave, it's just a mirror effect. They behave exactly like them. They are just there for themselves and not for the community. Now, as part of change, the change I'm talking about, the change should start everywhere in all aspects in this country. Reformist is a soft way of saying, I am no longer a drunkard. I used to drink 5 pints of beer.
Yeah.
Now I only drink 3. But does it make a difference?
Okay. No, there's no difference. It's a soft way of approaching things. Now, there is an aspect of collaboration. And there was a very interesting program by Tate Kauruma during the weekend when he spoke about lack of collaboration and envies and all these things. Then I spoke, what's wrong with us black people? He was asking those questions, and then I have to call him. He said, no, nothing is so happening.
Yeah.
He said, no, what is wrong with us black people? Why are we not working together? Every time we are the problem. He was speaking in that case. Maybe in terms of collaboration, especially about black people, And look at the aspect of business. Are we together?
David,
yeah.
I'm saying to you, there is a beautiful phrase, and it goes something like...
There's a caller.
Okay.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, David and Mr. Walenga, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Oh, it's great.
Mm.
Speak up.
Yes.
Speak up a little bit. You are too low.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I understand very well and the argument of Mr. Walenga that we don't need to reform, but we need to change completely.
Mm.
It's a great argument.
Mm.
And this is what we were actually being arguing.
Mm-hmm.
All, yes, you know, you remember I came in your program several times whereby I said perhaps we need to examine the system of which we are and try and find out where do we go wrong or what exactly are we supposed to do. Now we have Mr. Johnny Walenga, who is actually now defining that what we need to do is not to reform, but to we need a whole completely change. Yeah, because to change within the system is not that easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, to reform is that you're still within the system, you're just changing some aspect of what you actually want. So when we say, like he gave an example of Qatar. Yeah, I think the Qatars are 2.8 now.
Yeah.
And then the system that they are actually using, the system of governance.
Yeah. Sorry, ne, due to time, in 1 minute, what is your view direction moving forward? Because we must find a solution in this, when we are having conversation. What is your view? What is your proposed view?
Yes, I am saying obviously we need to change. Because we, you know, he mentioned what I have actually saying that we have leaders who actually believe that the FID will work for us.
Mm.
We still have them here already in place.
Mm.
And they are the majority, I mean, they are the one that owns most of our resources. They have got the means.
Yeah.
And yet we are not improving in terms of economics of our this country. And you know, we have 90% of our economy in the hand of the foreigners.
Yeah.
What is it that we want? That we go and look for investors while we have here, and they don't pose any change or any economical impact.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right. Yes. Collaboration.
You see.
Yeah.
You and I.
Yeah.
Growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Your first role models.
Mm-hmm.
Are your parents.
Yeah, yeah.
But you want, growing up, you want to become better than them.
Mm, mm, mm.
And they wish the same for you.
Mm, mm.
To become better than you.
Yeah.
That's why that process is mutual.
Yeah.
That's how beautiful it is.
Yeah.
Ne?
Yeah.
But after you have graduated.
Yeah.
After you have made it in life.
Mm.
The only person who continue to appreciate you to be or appreciate the fact that you have become better than him is your father. Anybody else, don't be fooled. They wouldn't want you to be better than them. That's one. Number two, if you want cooperation among black business people, first, it must first manifest itself among politicians. Before that, because those are our national leaders. A business person is individual. And unfortunately, I did it on my own without the influence of my parents. Who are our parents? It's members of parliament. Those are our parents as a nation. So if they are not working together, where are you going to get the inclination of working together as business people? Because you made it as individuals. They say most, monkey see, monkey what?
Monkey do.
Hello.
Yeah. I hear you. Now, one may want to ask why we have, 5 minutes. I think this is our minutes also. Why Eagle FM?
Well, Igro FM is a platform created, ne?
Yeah.
For you and I.
Yeah.
To speak and convince and say what is at the bottom of our being. Without insulting anybody.
Yeah.
You are free to talk about anything that you want. Hence, even the setup itself.
Yeah.
In other institutions of this nature,
yeah,
you have what they call producers.
Yeah.
But I deliberately set up Igro FM
without
that layer of people. So that every one of you who is behind the mic, you are your own producer. Now, the beautiful thing about this setup also is that when you guys shine and you say all sorts of good things, nobody will even bother to call you. The only person I see calling and congratulating some of you is a person like Uncle Bwana and Mandume, those two. The rest, they are typical Africans. You know what they say about Africans? When you have written a beautiful poem, for as long as that poem does not carry his or her name, it can never be beautiful.
It can never be beautiful.
Do you understand?
Yes. Well, we have 4 minutes. Now, when I look around, because sometimes at some point, somebody must be appreciated. And, the fact that you are in the system, the fact that there is, a result, I look around, I meet the new people. I got actually an opportunity to meet new people.
Yeah.
Look at, good office of the prime minister, I meet the PPROs, you go to industries. But when I come across these people, one of the things they tell me to say, no, I was at Eagle FM. Or I was at Eagle FM. I work for the Village, a newspaper too. But now I want to ask you this question. Now when you look at, when you look around government, you look around the private sector, you look around the international institution, then you see the footprint of Eagle FM products. Have somebody come up to you as a founder, just and say and appreciate the contribution to human capital? And maybe how does that make you feel, the first question, when you see the footprint of this human capital that is now in the market, some are even outside the country? How does that make you feel?
It's not about me to start with.
Yeah.
It's about you people. Remember what I told you guys in the staff meeting?
Yes.
It starts and ends with you.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Igro FM has, trained many people.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, when they leave from here,
yeah,
they blend in that society, which does not appreciate good deeds. They become part of that society. I'm saying you are what you are because of your environment. You are a product of your time. When they go in there, they blend in and become typical Africans who would not want to be associated with a beautiful poem if it doesn't carry their names. So it doesn't bother me at all. It's their conscience should speak to them and for them.
Yeah. My question is that has somebody come up to you? Or have you met somebody say, no, I appreciate the contribution to human capital because, you know, one thing about me, and I'm saying this with respect, when you used to work, my father always tell me, work hard so that you are not going to work for white people. He used to tell me this thing. Then, you know what happened? When I come from university, I was not working, but I was busy improving myself and training myself.
Yeah.
The first job I got, the first job I got is one of my father was avoiding me together. And I said, no, but that is the thing. But in terms of now, finding, black business person or black founder of an institution.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. We commit to bring you lower prices on all the essentials you need, like 2 liter Nam Milk Fresh Full Cream Milk for only $37.99, and 4 kg Real Good Frozen Mixed Chicken Portions for just $189.99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 5 October 2025. Only at ShopRite. Catch Ready Steady Cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
Yeah, what I said is that
David,
yes,
don't get your father wrong. That was not the message from your father. What your father was saying to you is, study, work hard, so that you can be self-employed. That's just an analogy.
Yeah,
why
yeah.
white?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
during his time,
yeah.
only whites
yeah.
were employing
yeah. Yeah.
black people.
Mm-hmm.
So all what he's saying is mm-hmm. encouraging you to stand out.
Uh-huh.
It's not literal.
But I get you.
Do you understand?
I get you.
Yeah.
Now, while we are here, have somebody come up and say, we appreciate your contribution to human capital. We appreciate your contribution to economic expansion, because in Africa, economists have told us to say there's nothing that we need rather than human capital, because we already have everything here.
David,
yes.
I'm saying to you,
yeah.
in
yeah.
simple terms,
yeah.
don't expect that from black people.
Yeah.
Don't live for that.
Mm.
Live for the product you have created.
Mm.
Just make sure that it's oiled.
Yeah.
It's moving.
Yeah.
If you expect people to pat you on the, at the back, at your back, forget it. I don't get that. And not that I need it
yeah.
from many black people. I can actually count them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say to you, one of the people who forever would call me from the black community is a person called Professor Dr. Namwandi.
Mm-hmm.
Will always call and say, John, we appreciate what you are doing.
Mm.
And with my little business that I have set up, his institution, IUM, he has made that undertaking and he has never relented from that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll always support Eagle FM whenever there is an opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you from all people is David Namwandi.
Mm.
However,
yeah.
I get that every day from white people, believe it or not. White people, not black people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Dear listeners, we are coming to the end of our program, and before we give the mic to Mike to unpack the day, just 1 minute, last words, anything to listeners?
No, it's your program. You
yeah.
invited me here
yeah.
to speak to you, and I like the fact which
yeah.
we were freestyling,
yeah,
because that's me.
Yeah.
If you bring me a set of questions, you are just wasting your time.
Yeah.
Because I don't operate like that.
Yes.
But thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah.
But my last words is that if we want to make a difference
yeah.
in our sorry.
Yeah.
In our economy.
Yeah.
Let us not focus on Namibia in broader terms.
Mm.
We must focus on individuals.
Yeah.
Because only individuals who can make a difference in our economy. Let's empower them. We don't have to like them. That's not the reason why we were given power. You, I never knew you.
Yeah.
But here you are.
Yeah.
And I've fallen in love with what you do.
Yeah.
Because I can see that you read every day.
Yeah.
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 So that you can be ahead
yeah.
of your callers and listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And people like you is people we must invest into, because you see a light at
yeah.
the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
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 And let's hope that light you see is not a train coming to crush you.
Yes.
And it's us leaders who
yeah.
must make sure that that light at the end of the tunnel, it's a light of prosperity.
Yes. Mr. John Walenga, thank you for your time, and thank you for joining us at Early Morning Scoop. So I'm leaving you in the good hands of Michael Shoveri to unpack the day. Bye-bye for now.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka.